I'm here today with Fidel for our next It Gets Better podcast. Welcome, Fidel.
Thank you for having me.
Could you give us a little bit of an introduction to our listeners about where you work at the university and then something about your background, family and upbringing?
Sure. So I've been at the university for about 4 years now. All this time I've been a research technician. I've worked in a couple of places. I started off working for the Manchester Fungal Infection Group, and that was a maternity cover, so that lasted for about 9 months. And then I've moved on to my current role now, which is in the Protein Translation Group, headed by Graham Pavitt, who's my lab PI. So family and upbringing.
Yeah, some upbringing, any tales you have from there.
Okay, so I come from a mixed race background. My dad's Colombian, my mom's Chinese Indonesian, and I think my dad left when I was about four, so quite young, so I didn't really have him in the picture, because my mom's family is mainly in Indonesia, so I sort of had my childhood in Indonesia.
Okay.
And then we moved to Singapore to sort of start formal education years. And again, I guess as a child, everyone would say like I was like quite flamboyant and kind of thing, and no one really mentioned that was bad or to stop that behavior, I guess. Which made it weird later on when I came out that they took quite offense to it.
Okay.
I guess schooling in Singapore, I guess it was never sort of, you didn't see any sort of gay role models or any out person, at least when I was, during that time when I was growing up. I was questioning it while still studying in Singapore, but did probably really like address it or like focus on it until I came sort of to university here in the UK. So
would you say generally you had quite a supportive upbringing when you were growing up?
I think so. I mean, there's one incident that sort of still stuck in my mind when I was quite young and I went to just like a gymnastics sort of extracurricular activity, and I was okay. Like, we did stuff like competitions and things, and it got to a point where we had to wear stuff like male leotards when we go for competition, and my mom was quite adamant that I stopped at that point. She thought it was too feminizing or something like that, so I was like, gutted, I couldn't carry on with that. But I think I just sort of buried my head in sort of school and friends, so it didn't really ever come up then become an issue.
Okay, so then moving on to your coming out, can you talk a little bit about when that happened and why it happened, if there was something that particularly prompted it?
So I think during my undergraduate years, I started coming out, like joined the LGBT Student Society. I remember I was doing a summer placement, and I was looking for somewhere to stay, so I was getting in touch with some friends, and she put me through contact with this person, so I could stay with that person. Turns out, that person was sort of openly gay and out, and so I guess in a way, sort of, it was sort of a safe space for me to ask questions and learn about, how things happen, where people meet and how people met and things like that. But it didn't really come out to, I guess, friends and family until I was sort of in a long-term relationship, sort of my first long-term relationship. A few months in, I felt comfortable, because I guess for some people it feels like, you have the safety net of a relationship to make it more real that you are the orientation that you are. So it was during that time that my mom's still in Singapore, so I rang her up and told her over the phone. I guess it was like quite a shock to her. And I think from her point of view, I think it was just natural to just sort of be in denial and question things, and so that was her immediate response. And yeah, I think it took her quite a while to come around to it. So my first long-term relationship probably lasted about 7-8 years. So only like now I'm in my sort of second long-term relationship that's like sort of been, she's come around to it now.
Okay.
But I guess also I had to mention that my mom's sort of quite a religious background. So she's deeply Catholic, and I guess the Chinese side of her as well made it that she's got all these cultural sort of sensitivities with that as well.
Okay.
So yeah, even if she comes from a large family with like 12 brothers and sisters, yeah, I don't know any other ones who've come out in that sort of extended family. So
okay.
I'm the only one that I know of.
And do you have any siblings?
No. So yeah,
okay.
Only child as well.
Only
so
child.
I guess should, the one of the things she's like, what about my grandchildren? Things like that always comes up. But recently we've helped got lesbian friends who we've helped to have children. So
okay,
she has biological children somewhere.
Somewhere.
Yeah.
Okay.
How much contact she'll actually get with them is another question.
Okay, but you think now that she is, you know, come around to the idea and is supportive of you?
I guess more neutral zone than I wouldn't go as far as supportive. I don't know if she'll join Pride. It's like, I know in Singapore they have this Pink Dot event, which is like a Pride, but it's like an all-inclusive event, so it doesn't it gets away around the laws, I guess, that they have.
Sure.
But so to make it an all-inclusive event. But yeah, I don't know if she's gone to any of those events.
Maybe one day.
Yeah.
You never know. And then with friends and peers, did you have a positive experience when you were coming out to them?
Yeah, I think with my friends, or like childhood friends or school friends, I guess, with sort of social media, and it's easier to connect and easier to, I guess, come out, I guess, in a way, I guess, on like social media than having to like have many one face-to-face conversations with people. But so it was just like, you put it out there and everyone just reacted quite positively. And yeah, I think, I mean, I do have friends who are quite of a faith background, but they didn't like impose any of the kind of those kind of paradigms or try to have awkward conversations with me around it. So no, that's fine.
So when you'd finished your degree, you had a couple of jobs before you came back to the university. So could you talk about your experience being LGBT in those work environments?
So when I was doing my writing up, I just did some shift work with Starbucks, and I've always worked, I guess, in sort of large organizations, and I'm not sure if it's sort of subconsciously, but I think possibly larger organizations have sort of better things in place to help support diversity and sort of HR issues. So, so I never had any troubles. I was quite freely to talk about whether it was my boyfriend at the time or my husband, and they're happy to sort of keep that conversation and sort of not make it awkward at all. When I was working for NatWest, which is sort of part of the RBS group, they have, I think that was the first time I sort of joined sort of the Pride event in Manchester, because they also have their own Pride float that they submit. Even though I was working in a small branch in Hyde, which is like outskirts of Manchester, they were quite happy for me to sort of, take time off to be involved in the bigger RBS sort of planning and being involved in such activities. So never felt anything like treated differently in that sense.
That's great. That's really, really encouraging to know. And then when you started work at the University of Manchester, how have you found the environment here at the university?
I think it's pretty much the same. I think there's a lot more scope and things to do. I think looking back now, like stuff I've been doing involved with the All Out stuff network compared to what I was aware of or what I could have helped out with in the other organizations I worked in. I think there's a lot more things going, more events and activities,
mm-hmm.
and there's, I guess, a breadth of that. And also you get obviously to meet people across the spectrum as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's definitely that critical mass within the university for that to happen.
Okay, that's great.
Yeah.
Really good to hear. So before we finish, do you have any advice that you'd like to give people that might be listening to this podcast, whether they are LGBT or an ally, something, you know, from your experience?
Yeah, I guess it's one of those things that if you're thinking of coming out, is something you have to sort of work out when you're ready and not feel rushed or
mm-hmm.
pressured. But I guess in terms of visibility, I think that's important. If it ever comes to people, yet don't always appreciate when they see visible role models,
mm-hmm.
depending whether the LGBT or whatever sort of characteristics, that it does help slowly change the culture and mindset. So it's always in that way, I think, one of the reasons why I'm quite happy to be out and share my name and sort
mm-hmm.
of my orientation, is that, you know, it might help other people to feel more comfortable in the work environment. So and I guess that's also helped with the allies as well, to create that kind of safe space for people. Yeah, just depending, yeah, if you have small group chats and things, to sort of try and include
mm-hmm.
People in that conversation. I guess, yeah, especially with pronouns or sexual orientation, it's always sometimes tricky to ask the right question. But yeah, there's nothing wrong if you make a mistake, I guess, as long as you just sort of correct it and carry on. So
yeah, great. Thank you very much for your time today. Really interesting to hear your story. And thank you to our listeners for tuning into this podcast. We'll be back soon with another It Gets Better interview.